You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, make sure you're at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium this season to see your Cleveland Browns in action at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Very, very happy to welcome into the show right now the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the one and only Jim Donovan. Jim, how you doing?
I am doing good. I'm taking a look at my house right now, and I'm saying this is the last time I'm going to see you in daylight for a long time now that camp opens up.
Life as we know it changes dramatically. Well, you got your taste of it last night with my partner here, Nathan Zagura. Great job on the training camp show that aired last night on KYC, and we remind people that if they want to see it again, just go to clevelandbrowns.com. And
they can also get the entire interview with Coach Patton at clevelandbrowns.com.
So that was fun and good stuff there, Jim. And I guess while you're in that mode of big picture and looking at this training camp, what are you feeling right now as we approach it, especially to the discussion of this quarterback competition? Are you questioning at all, given the responses you've heard from Mike Pettine to this question and maybe players tweeting out that they're all expecting this to be Brian Hoyer's show, that it's really over before it begins? Are you buying that?
Not really, Vic. I'm really not, because I think there are enough questions still about, you know, Brian and how effective he's going to play, and physically, is he okay? And as we talked about last night on the show, I mean, that's the first major question now, is Brian physically ready to go? I mean, I know he's pushing it, and he's done an amazing and marvelous job in rehabbing and put in all the time and work. But again, during May camp and OTAs, of course, you know, it was taking baby steps. Now we got to jump into the pool and be ready to swim here, full go. So that's the first question, and that would lend me to say, hey, listen, you got to look at the whole picture of quarterback, because physically, you know, you got to make sure that he's ready to go. And then second of all, I just am a believer that he did a great job last year in the two games that they won, and it looked as though he was going to play well against Buffalo. But the fact still remains that I just don't think still that it was enough of a test, you know, in completion as far as a good sample case of it, that we have a definitive answer on that. But I do believe he's the leader, and I do believe he is a leader, and I believe that, you know, he's got a few steps ahead of everybody else, and specifically Johnny Manziel. But I still think he has to prove that he can move the team, that he can be effective, and most of all, that he can stay healthy and be healthy at the start of the year. And that's why I think there's still a decision to be made.
Jim, good to be talking with you again. Had fun last night.
Absolutely, Nathan.
When you look at this and the time frame that's been laid out, so the decision will be made before the third preseason game, at least ideally there. What do you think Johnny Manziel must do basically in the next month to win the job from Brian Hoyer?
I mean, he's got to pull out like that Alabama game from a couple of years ago when he went down there and beat them in Tuscaloosa. And I think he's capable of doing something like that. I mean, I think that's what he's all about. He's about electrifying a team and a stadium and, you know, really surging momentum. I think that's the way he plays. It seems as though that's what made him so special in college and even in high school, as you read the legend of Johnny Manziel. So I think that, you know, if he's going to win it, you know, right now or at the start of this season, he's going to have to electrify, you know, things and really show us a brand of offense that we have been craving to see here for a long time. That, you know, we're not going to be game controllers, but we're going to be just electric, and we're going to score, and we're going to be on the attack all the time. We're not just going to sit and wait for field position and, you know, and control the game and hope we get a break and let it all rest on our defense. We're going to attack and score. And I think that if that's what he can do, then I think that he would open up a lot of eyes. But he, you know, if it is going to be before, you know, the decision by the time of the third preseason game, he's going to have to do it right away.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Jim, as much as there'll be a focus on the quarterback spot, I also think there's the focus on yet another new head coach leading training camp, the third now in 3 years. Your thoughts on Mike Pettine's style, what you've been able to glean just being around him since he's been hired since January?
Well, you know, Vic, you bring up a great point because I think that's always fascinating. And Nathan and I touched on this too last night. Is to me, it's always fascinating to see when a guy finally becomes a head coach, what kind of camp he runs. It's very different when you're a coordinator. You have a lot of responsibilities, but you don't have the whole shooting match. And he's got the whole shooting match and then some, considering all the storylines that he's got coming into this camp. I mean, he's got a possible year-long suspension to his best player. He's got a raging quarterback controversy with a local hometown kid against the phenomenal talent coming out of college. He's got a bundle of things on his wagon that he's got to answer to and keep under control. So that to me is going to be fascinating. And if what I pick up from him is that he really is, you know, harping on how physical he wants the team to be and how tough he wants the team to be, and that seems to me that would lend itself to, it's going to be as much as it can be under this new CBA with the control rules of practice, it's going to be a physical camp, because I think you have to be physical right out of the gate to get that toughness. You know, I don't think that comes 4 weeks into the season. I think that needs to be there on September 7th in Pittsburgh, especially going into that place and playing that team. And if you really want that, I think you're going to have to see it on the practice field, and you're going to have to really demand it and encourage it. So that's the kind of camp I would look for, because I'm not saying he's had tough talk, but he's had very firm talk since he got the job that, you know, the offense might be a work in progress, but I do know this. We're going to be the toughest team on the field every Sunday. And I think if you're going to do that, you have to get tough.
You got to get tough, and you got to be able to back it up. That's right. And speaking of tough, the situation that Josh Gordon is facing, we know now the hearing will be next a week from today, August the 1st. Jim, in light of what happened with Ray Rice getting two games and the absolute outcry that has happened basically around the country and certainly on every single media outlet, and that's not just limited to sports media, that's every media outlet. How do you see this scenario unfolding, and has the NFL kind of backed itself into a PR nightmare type of a corner here?
I definitely think they have. I really do. And I know that there are rules that seem to, you know, in black and white say Josh is looking at a year-long suspension. But, I mean, what happened yesterday in a domestic violence situation, coming down with a two-game suspension, you know, I really think it seems to kind of lean towards leniency here in the case of Josh Gordon. I'm not saying what he did is right, and I do believe Josh has got a problem that he, you know, and he's got a lifestyle problem, and he's got, you know, it seems as though he's got a problem that really needs some professional tending to. But I think that there's a scenario where, almost like what happened last year, where they felt it was so important to keep this guy engaged and keep him around the football people so that they could keep him in the building, you know, keep him around the team in training camp and participating in preseason games and things like that, that led to that two-game suspension. You know, I think that you could see some leniency after this Ray Rice thing. I did not see that happening. I thought it was going to be pretty cut and dry up until yesterday. But I do believe if Gordon gets nailed with a year-long suspension and Ray Rice trots out on that field in game three of the regular season, you know, I think the balance of power is really way out of whack in the minds of the NFL and specifically Roger Goodell. So if I'm Browns fans, I'm thinking maybe at some point this year we will see Josh Gordon after what happened to Ray Rice in Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's got to be possible. And also Fox Sports' Mike Garofalo reported yesterday that the Browns wide receiver did check himself into rehab after his recent legal troubles. That's got to, you know, hopefully that could help. But really, to me, I was happy to read that yesterday, because to do that is the first step to the acknowledgement in my mind that you do have an issue.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nathan. Yeah, I think that it also shows that, you know, he's, you know, that first step of admitting you really have a problem is, you know, that first step is the major one. But it also will be important because obviously in the Ray Rice situation, that time when Ray Rice went to New York and visited with the commissioner, it must have really, you know, been very effective you know, in how apologetic he was and how upset he was and how, you know, he just pleaded with the commissioner and said, listen, I'll fix this. And if Josh can have that kind of situation and already saying, listen, I'm getting professional help, it would seem as though, you know, the commissioner had an open ear to Rice and would have to have an open ear to Josh Gordon because they're very, very different infractions. I mean, you know, one is just despicable that, you know, you're a physical
abuse.
Morally
reprehensible, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just that kind of situation. So I would think that, you know, that is a good sign, too.
Jim, just the general buzz for this team, what has it, as you go back, because we're asking our listeners to give us their maybe a favorite camp memory if they've got one, but especially a guy like you who has been here for so many of these camps, compare this buzz to what you might, if there is a comparison, A,
yeah.
And B, is there a standout memory every time you come to camp here? Oh, I remember when, fill in the blank.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this, you know, Vic and Nathan, the buzz right now, and the ratings last night on the television show, the preview show were incredibly good, and that's on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, you know, and a beautiful, I mean, as perfect a night as you would want to be outside.
Too perfect.
Yeah, too perfect. Anyway, let me.
Didn't want to be golfing.
My memory would be this: that buzz I remember when Bernie Kosar came to the Browns and came up for his first training camp at Lakeland Community College. There was such excitement over the fact that here's Bernie Kosar, here's the kid from Boardman, here's a guy that said, listen, I want to come into the NFL and I want to play in Cleveland. I want to play for the Browns. I mean, that was music to everybody's ears, and there was such excitement going out there, and there were huge crowds every day to see him perform and, you know, line up to try and get an autograph, and everybody did from Bernie. So that was a tremendous buzz. And this kind of has that feel. This really does. I mean, I know it was exciting when they came back in 1999, but to be honest with you, everybody had stickers on that said, hello, my name is, because everybody was so new. But I compare this to when Kosar came because everybody sensed it was going to be great. And I think everybody senses that this is going to be exciting and hopefully great.
Great. Jim, looking forward to seeing you
absolutely
out here bright and early tomorrow and late at night as well. As you said, your new residence here in Berea for all of us.
Thanks, Vic.
Yes. All right, my friend. We'll see you then.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
The voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, the one and only, joining us here. And, of course, you hear him regularly. And he joins us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. All right, we're going to get into our position preview, the last of our series leading up to training camp, special teams. We're going to dive into that today. The return game, the kicking game. Fortunately, not a lot of discussion about that compared to previous, well, to last year.
Last year.
I should
right
say.
Before that, it was smooth sailing.
It was mostly
Mr.
smooth.
Dawson.
The punting spot was a little shaky, right. But anyway, it looks like that's in good shape. But what is going to happen in the return game? We'll try to answer those questions for you. At 2 o'clock, we will get into our Friday forecast, what we do each week here on Fridays on this show. Solomon Wilcots joining us at 2:30 from CBS Sports, from SiriusXM NFL Radio, and the Browns preseason broadcast on KYC. He will be next to Jim Donovan in the booth. All of that is coming up on CBD.